Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and it is my pleasure to welcome you this fine day. This is not a live broadcast, it is a recording, but it is very close to what was supposed to be airing day. For the past week, I have had sickly children. If you've ever had sick kids, especially sick toddlers of the feminine persuasion, well, you know that the whine factor is very high. So anything would set them off. Whining was just background noise at a certain point. Thankfully, they're both better. No more coughing, no more, mucus explosions. But it was a trying week. And both me and my wife were looking at each other going, how much longer is this going to take? Because you couldn't do anything. There was really nothing they could take. There was nothing we could give them. And there was nothing you could do to speed it along. I mean, we did the whole, chicken noodle soup, vitamin C, things that we knew, work in a sort of a provincial way. But as far as, prescription medication or those things, no. And so it just took time for it to get out of their system. It was a virus that had them coughing. And at a certain point, because of all the nose blowing, the nose and, the upper lip got a little irritated and that started hurting. And it was a trial. And even so, sometimes you put things into perspective and you're thankful that that's all it was. I got some news today that sort of threw me for a loop. That's why I don't seem my chipper self. A friend of mine from the old days, from when I used to live in California, just lost his 16-year-old son in a car accident. I can't imagine, but he's in my prayers, and please keep him in your prayers as well, because it's a difficult time, to say the least. It's something that we can say we empathize, and we can say that we feel their pain, but we don't. Not in the true sense, not in the sense of loss. We have an idea of what people go through when they lose children. But unless we've lost a child, we don't know the full impact of it. So if you know somebody going through that sort of trial, man, keep them in your prayers. Let them know that you're there for them. Be willing to be a shoulder to cry on. Be willing to be a ear to hear. Be willing to be someone present. Because it's in times like these that people need friends. It's not during times of joviality and times of excess, and those aren't real friends. I know people that, would never be there for me in my time of distress. Yet they consider themselves my friends. And yet I know people that we don't get together very often. There's not a lot of barbecuing going on. But if I need them, they're there at the drop of a hat. And that's what a true friend is. I apologize I started this a little morose. But that's the kind of headspace I'm in. That's the kind of mindset I'm in. And I am not one of those people that easily puts on a fake smile and plasters on joy and starts cracking jokes. If this is the kind of mood I'm in, then this is the kind of mood I'm in. I'm not going to fake it. That said, there has been a lot going on in these United States this past week. The circus has come to town, and it's one of those sad circuses. You know, I don't know how many of you have been to the circus, but I've been to a couple because I have children, and all the really good high-end, high-octane circuses kind of went out of business. Like, there's no longer a Ringling Brothers circus. And so what you have now is like second tier and third tier circuses. And the third tier circuses are just plain sad. You have, you know, six people with a donkey and a goat and some little, you know, short person spanks the goat with a stick and makes it run around the donkey, and that's the circus. You paid your $5, you got your $5 worth. This is the kind of circus that has come to town as far as Washington, D.C. is concerned. It's not the Ringling Brothers. It's not spectacle. It's not high wire, you know, death defying feats by any means. It's intellectually inept people chasing a goat around a donkey, or in this case, chasing a donkey around an elephant. It's not going to go anywhere. They know it's not going to go anywhere. But as the circuses of old were fond of saying, the show must go on. And indeed it is. The thing that is a wee bit comforting, if you will, is that they're finally getting some pushback. And they're being called on their nonsense, and they're being called on their delusions, and they're being called on their lies, and they're being called on their hypocrisy. And it stings. By their facial expressions, they don't like it very much. But this will likely go on for some time. And while this is going on, while the circus is a-happening, the work of the people is not getting done. Now, if I were conspiratorial in nature, and I'm not for the most part, some things I conclude based on the evidence at hand, and the conclusions I come to have been called conspiratorial by some people, but it turns out it's the truth. So if it turns out to be true, it's no longer conspiracy. This is what some people have a hard time with. The whole, you know, Hollywood and pedophilia thing isn't conspiracy anymore. It's now a proven thing. Jeffrey Epstein was a big part of that puzzle, and they had him shut up permanently because he was about to expose some very powerful people in powerful positions in governments and businesses and in Hollywood that did very unsavory things to very underage children. And when people were talking about this 3-4 years ago, they were laughed out of the public square. There's no way something like this could happen. Look at these wholesome folks. They'd never do something like this. No, they pretend to be wholesome on television. They pretend to be wholesome in movies. But never equate someone's private life with someone's public life. If you do, you will be sorely disappointed time and time again. That's doubly true for supposed televangelists and men of spiritual renown. Especially those that try to present themselves as walking on water, holier than thou. Because they're not. And all you have to do is a public record search of some of these names to see just how grotesque their lives are behind the scenes. Just to see how grotesque their lives are when the camera's not on. And I'm not talking about Hollywood people now. I'm talking about preachers and pastors and evangelists. I just read an article Recently, a pastor either in Georgia or Michigan got sentenced to life in prison for grooming a young girl, having sexual relations with her, and pimping her out to his buddies. This was supposed to be a pastor. If you want to do your due diligence, research it. I've got my laptop here. I'm going to clack a little bit and see if I can find it, because it was one of those stories that just hits you in the stomach. Because on the outside, this is the kind of individual that insisted, people call him Bishop and his wife First Lady. This is the kind of individual that insisted they were spiritually superior, and thusly, you must bow to their every will. Anthony Hayes is the pastor's name. Hey, Georgia. So this happened in Ohio. I wasn't planning on reading this or getting into it, but I'm going to, because I just remembered it, and I remembered that dirty feeling, you know, where you have to wash your hands and wash your face, where you feel sort of icky for the rest of the day. Because this isn't the godless that are doing these sort of things. These are supposed spiritual leaders of the congregations of the saints. And this is why everyone, including spiritual leaders of the congregations of the saints, have to be held accountable. Former leader of the Greater Life Christian Center in Toledo, Ohio, Anthony Haynes, was sentenced to life in prison Thursday, even though he pleaded with U.S. District Judge Bernard Friedman to have mercy on him for grooming a teenage girl to have sex with him and then going on to share her with two other, listen to the following word, please, with two other pastors. I'm waiting a breath. I am letting it sink in. So this man, who was sentenced to life in prison, groomed a teenage girl for intercourse with him, and then he went on to share her with two other pastors. Pastors. Leaders of the flock. If supposed leaders of God's people, if supposed Christian shepherds are doing these sort of things, they're committing these sort of atrocities, what, pray tell, do you think is happening in a cesspool like Hollywood? What, pray tell, do you think is happening in a cesspool like Washington, D.C.? But these will be the first people to get on their soapbox and try to browbeat ya, pontificate, sanctimoniously look their nose down on you. How can you call yourself a Christian and still support this administration? And these people have nailed their closets shut for fear of all the skeletons that would come popping out. I don't deserve life. Yes, you do, sir. Yes, you do. I don't deserve life, Haynes argued during his sentencing for grooming his then 14-year-old victim, according to the Toledo Blade. Like I said, I've been doing life for 27 months while I've been away from my children, and this hurts. My need today is for you to have mercy on me. That is between you and God, sir. The legal system should have sentenced you to life. They did a good thing. And the fact that you have children, imagine the depth of psychosis. Somebody must have. To have children of their own and go on to groom a 14-year-old girl to take advantage of, to have sex with, and then share her with apparently two other pastors. I hope those two other pastors get life in prison too. That's my position. Haynes, now 40, was arrested and slapped with federal sex trafficking charges in 2017 along with Pastor Kenneth Butler, now 29, of Kingdom Encounter Family Worship Center, and of course the Reverend Cordell Jenkins, now 48, who once led Abundant Life Ministries. This is what's happening in church. If you think the devil's sleeping, if you think the devil's on hiatus, if you think the devil's taking a break, this is happening in churches. You take what's happened here, couple it with what's happening in the Catholic Church, and you'd be tempted to strap a camera on your child's forehead every time they go to church so they can live stream everything they do, so you can make sure no one's doing something illicit or untoward or wrong. This is what we've come to. We're supposed spiritual leaders, three men of renown, one of them, the Reverend Cordell Jenkins, abused a 14-year-old girl. And then you have the gall to say you don't deserve life? You deserve castration, too. But that's just my opinion. Be thankful. I am not a monarch, and I am not the king of these lands, sir. Because if I were, life would be much more difficult than just life in prison. Court documents cited by ABC 13 said Butler, Jenkins, and Haynes sexually assaulted a juvenile girl beginning in 2014 through 2017. The victim was allegedly 14 when the assaults began while in Haynes' custody. Some of the assaults All right, are we back? Hello, hello.
Mike, we're back.
All right, so do I just keep talking then?
Yep, keep talking. I'll fix that, Mike. No problem.
Super. All right. Now, it says that Haynes also routinely paid the girl money after the act, and warned her not to say anything about their activities as it would ruin his family and church. So this is a man who knew that what he was doing was wrong. This is a man who knew that what he was doing was criminal. There was no way around that knowledge. You know you're doing wrong when you're taking advantage of a 14-year-old girl and then paying her hush money to keep quiet. He warned her not to say anything about their activities as it would ruin his family and his church. Well, sir, it also ruined your life, and it ruined your testimony, and it ruined pretty much any good that you did for the first 40 years of your life. Haynes further shared the victim with other men, including Jenkins, court documents say. Jenkins allegedly sexually exploited the girl at his home on Barrington Drive repeatedly, as well as at his office at Abundant Life Ministries and at a motel in Toledo. He reportedly paid the girl and recorded some of their activities with his cellular phone. He also allegedly exploited another underage girl who engaged in commercial sexual activity in March 2017. Even though he expressed sympathy for Haynes' five children, Judge Friedman pointed out the disgusting, horrible things that occurred in the case, as well as the disgraced pastor's lack of remorse. Society relies on people of trust. It's totally violated here, and we have to send a message, Friedman said. I concur. Having read what I just read, anyone should concur. Assistant U.S. Attorney Michael Freeman argued that Haynes abused his position as a pseudo-parent and a clergyman to exploit the teenager who was a previous victim of sexual assault, and said that justice was served. Just think of this. This 14-year-old girl was a previous victim of sexual assault. She trusted a man who was supposed to be a pastor, a man of the cloth, a spiritual elder. And he turns around and does this. How broken do you think this child is? And I know she's not a child anymore, and I know she's probably, what, 19, 20. But you carry the scars of this kind of childhood throughout your life. I can't even imagine. Ultimately, we got the sentence that I thought justice required. And so, no matter how we get there, he's going to be off the streets forever, and the victim was heard, and the sentence reflects that, Freeman said. The victim, who is now older, was also relieved by the sentence, Freeman added. She is relieved, to be honest. This is kind of an end chapter. A horrific chapter for her. Now she can move on. She's still in school, college, getting her social work degree. She is working, and so she was emotional to a degree, but she is happy and relieved that her words were heard, Freeman added. The victim noted that she was afraid to say anything for 3 years as she was exploited because she didn't think anyone would believe her because of Haynes' position as a pastor. I just let it happen, she said. Haynes' family members also argued that his sentence was not proportional to similar crimes, because there are no similarities of crime. Yes, there are evil men who take advantage of young children, and they should be punished. But this was an evil man taking advantage of a young child under the guise of being a spiritual leader, under the guise of being a pastor. Now, his brother called the judicial system expletive up in an interview with ABC 13 and noted that the victim had been openly having sex with other men while taking money from them. And so that makes it okay. Even if she was. That child was broken. Your brother, sir, broke her. This is what is happening here in these United States. This is what is happening in what we would call churches. And if this sort of monstrosity is taking place in what we would call churches, once again, just imagining what's happening outside the church. So, yeah, I hadn't planned on talking about this, but here we are. Because it allows you to contextualize every time you hear some individual who believes their opinion matters more than it does get on their soapbox and start pontificating. I guarantee you, some of them are guilty of far worse than what the former leader of the Greater Life Christian Center in Toledo, Ohio, did. And they deserve equal punishment as Mr. Anthony Haynes. It is sad, disturbing, disgusting. There are so many adjectives that are running through my mind right now. And it's easy to close our eyes, and it's easy to shy away from these stories, and it's easy to adopt the mindset that we don't air our laundry in public. This isn't airing laundry. Airing laundry is Miss Jenkins said that she didn't like Miss James's hat. This is criminality. And the reason some of these things are allowed to fester is because we have that mindset. We can't air dirty laundry in front of the world. What would they think? So what's the recourse? What's the alternative to quote unquote airing dirty laundry? Do we let people like so-called Pastor Anthony Haynes continue raping little girls and selling them off, pimping them to his pastor friends because we don't want to air our dirty laundry in front of the world? Because if that's the mindset we've adopted, I fear the day that I will stand before my God. Because it will not end well. If the mindset that we've adopted as a Christian culture, if you will, is to cover up crimes of spiritual leaders because we think it would look badly or reflect badly on us, then I guarantee you that the day you stand before your Maker, you will have blood on your hands. The household of faith needs to be cleaned out. The wheat and the chaff need to be separated, and the chaff needs to be burnt. But the only way for that to occur is for those, quote unquote, guarding the field, wink, wink, to let it happen. Because whether it's big towns or small communities, some of the stories I'm hearing of things going on in churches is aging me rapidly. And whenever I write back and I go, why don't you go to the police? Well, what would the world think? I mean, airing our dirty laundry. No, this is crime. This is why the Catholic Church is in the mess that it's in, because they've adopted the same poisonous mindset. We protect our own. But they're not your own anymore. Once someone abuses a child, I don't care how liberal your theology is, they are no longer of the household of faith. Once somebody abuses a child, I don't care how universalist you are, you can't call that person or individual a Christian, never mind a bishop or reverend or pastor. So stop. Stop trying to defend the indefensible. Stop trying to cover up things that should be aired out. Because I guarantee you, now that Anthony Haynes is going to prison for life, it will serve as a cautionary tale to others who were headed down the same path. And I'm not naive enough to believe, he was the only one in the whole of America. Well, him and his two other pastor friends. There are wicked people among us. And yes, there are wicked people in church. And it is not your duty, it is not my duty, it is not the duty of any sanctified saint to protect or cover up for wicked people. I have no clue how we got here, but here we are. Because to be perfectly forthright with you, what I had planned for today's program was to talk about what happened in Virginia. Now, those of you that have, you know, kept up with the news know that there was a very large Second Amendment or pro-Second Amendment rally in Virginia. And the night before the rally took place, if you were to watch any newscast, the gleeful looks in their eye at the thought of violence erupting was undeniable. They were almost rubbing their hands together, thinking there would be bloodshed, hoping there would be bloodshed, praying there would be bloodshed. And tens of thousands of people gathered at the Capitol building in Virginia. And wouldn't you know it, to the great surprise of newscasters, but really no surprise to any normal individual, there was no bloodshed. There was no one wounded. No one was killed. No one was harmed. And the people that attended even picked up after themselves. They cleaned their own trash. And the thing that troubles me is that even among so-called prophetic Christians, I guess I gotta use that addendum, there is this need or desire to cry wolf every other day. A week ago, or 2 weeks ago now, we were supposed to be embroiled in World War III. Remember that? That faded, didn't it? Nothing happened. We have not declared World War. And if this was World War III, it was short-lived. This week, the pièce de résistance, the crisis du jour, was supposed to be what happened in Virginia. It was supposed to turn into a bloodbath, and that's where the revolution would begin. And let me preface by saying this. If someone has an opinion and declaratively states it as such, if they say, I believe, or this is my opinion, or I think this may, I'll give them a pass. My only bone to pick is with those individuals who insist that 'twas the Lord who told them, or 'twas the Lord who showed them, or 'twas the Lord who revealed the revelation of revelating to them. It's those people that, yes, I have a bone to pick with. Because if you prefaced World War III is here with thus says the Lord, then by your own words, you have branded yourself a false prophet, because World War III did not start. We did not declare war on Iran. We didn't bomb them. Russia didn't attack. China didn't attack. The Iranians cried uncle. The mullahs realized that, hey, hellfire missiles, nifty inventions, dangerous for us. And again, not saying that World War III isn't coming. But if I got on here every week, and every week I told you to expect it this week, at what point would you scratch your head and go, is this a rerun? Or is he just crying wolf again? Look, I've been at this twice, three times as long as some of these newfangled so-called prophets have been in ministry. I was 12 years old when I started translating for my grandfather and talking about the imminent destruction of America and the judgment thereof if it did not repent. I am now 44. You can do the math. It's been a while. And never once, since the day I started in ministry to this day, have I uttered the words, this is it. Get ready. It's here. Have I received revelation? Yes, I have. And I've made my dreams public, and they're there for anyone to read. Now, I can look at this one of two ways. Either those people saying, thus says the Lord, this will happen, and it doesn't, cannot discern the voice of the enemy from the voice of God, or they feel pressured to give some sort of revelation. How do I put this? Because it's a thing. Because most people lump myself and our ministry in with everyone else. And it's not as though I try to distinguish myself, but I stand up for the truth, even when it's unpopular. Some people try to push revelation. If it doesn't come, they try to tease it out, as it were, because they need something new and fresh. Because they built a machine and the machine needs fodder. They need content. They need clicks. They need sponsorships. They need, what is it now? Not GoFundMe. Some other thing. Patreon, that's the one. They need patrons now. And your patrons, they get antsy if you don't come up with some sort of new revelation every, you know, week or so. Why am I handing you my hard-earned money if you've got nothing new for me? And so, because they've created a business model rather than humbly followed after Christ, they've painted themselves into a corner where there is constant need to provide something, anything. And you know the old saying, even a broken clock is right twice a day. And that's the theory that they're running with. And it's a dangerous one because it keeps the children of God and the people of God afraid. I haven't gotten such fearful messages from people I know and people that know me in the last. The only time it's been so bad, to be perfectly honest with you, was back right after 9/11. It's been a spell. I know it has because I got married that year. Actually, the year prior. So it's been a while, and the only time it's ratcheted up so much was back then. It's the same kind of thing now, where people are just living in fear. Is it this or is it that? Is it World War III? Is it revolution? Or is it the new viral respiratory illness out of China? Maybe it's all three at once. Because one thing I will say is that if the Chinese are admitting that the new cases of this viral respiratory illness is rising sharply, then they already have a pandemic on their hands. How can you say this? Is it revelation? No. When something comes from God, whether it's a dream or a prophecy, I will be very sure to be very specific in saying, this is not me. But being an individual of, let's say, above average intelligence, I've put some pieces together. And the puzzle that I am seeing is this. China is a communist country. It is a well-contained communist country. No news gets out that they don't want out. Yet the problem with this new respiratory illness is big enough where they have to admit to rising cases. If it was only six people, like they say, this thing wouldn't have spread to what? Taiwan and now Washington, D.C. The odds of that would have been astronomical. What? Four people get it out of 7 billion, then of the four, somehow one of them gets to D.C. and one of them gets to Taiwan. No, this thing has been spreading in China for some time. They've tried to contain it. They've been unable to. And what we have to see basically shake out is the mortality rate. Because if it's a high mortality rate, then this can get very ugly very quickly. It's now spreading. Apparently very fast, human-to-human contact. And it is, what was the word they used? Because it's a very scary word. It is mutating. The virus is mutating. Let that sink in. Because the news 2 days ago was what? 44 people, now 4,000, they say, infected. Tomorrow it'll be 10. China has quarantined an entire province. You don't do that for the flu. Señor, you don't do that for the flu. Just let that sink in. If this thing wasn't scary bad, the Chinese wouldn't have taken the measures that they've taken. It's a city, not a province. The Chinese government has quarantined the city of Wuhan and plans to shut down the airport and public transportation within hours amid an outbreak of the coronavirus, according to reports on the country's social network. The virus now has been linked to at least 17 deaths and has sickened over 500 others. So we jumped from, 500 sickened yesterday morning to 4,000. Get the picture? Other countries' health agencies and governing bodies have issued warnings to travelers, including the UK, which advised against all but essential travel to Wuhan, which is where the virus was first detected. Several countries have implemented enhanced screening measures at airports for flights arriving from the Wuhan region as China faces scrutiny over what officials knew about the outbreak and when they discovered it. I have not read this article, but you know what? Spot on, exactly what I just said. If they are admitting to it now, this thing is ugly. It spreads quickly, and I'm waiting for the numbers because the mortality rate, I think, is a lot higher than what they're admitting to right now. Otherwise, they wouldn't have shut down an entire city. Look, my kids had the flu last week. You don't shut down a city and the airports and everything over the flu. For weeks, the country's health officials maintained that the number of people infected remained at 41. There's that number. With minimal fatalities, but as more cases emerged and the death toll spiked, fears of a cover-up began to surface. Again, I can promise you, if you want me to Skype you with my hand on the Bible, I had not read this article. I clicked on it just now because I wanted to see what the word was, because it's a scary word, that mutating word. Because if something is mutating, you can't pin it down. You can't have an antivirus for it. You can't have a vaccine for it. It's if it's mutating, what you take today will not work for what it's mutated to into tomorrow. And by everything that I'm seeing, the Chinese are freaked out. Now, the story continues, and it says two United Airlines passengers examined over coronavirus concerns at Chicago O'Hare. This is just breaking. And, of course, the Chinese have come out with a statement saying any lower-level officials who attempt to conceal new cases would be nailed on the pillar of shame for eternity. Yeah. Uh-huh. Remember SARS back in 02, 03? They didn't react this way to SARS. And SARS, infected 8,000 people and killed about 1,000? I think that when it all shakes out, the mortality rate for this thing is going to be through the roof. And by the looks of it, it's easily spreadable on human-to-human contact, and it's mutating. So, you know, there's always something to be concerned about. It's human nature to be concerned. We look at the world around us, and we feel as though it's falling apart. There's not much we can control. And we either get hyper-aggressive or hyper-fearful. But when we start to have those feelings, the one thing we need to remember is that in Christ we have peace. In Christ we have joy. In Christ we have comfort. In Christ we have protection. In Christ we have the anecdote, or the antidote. I apologize, not an anecdote, but the antidote to everything that the fear merchants are trying to peddle. Five other countries. So it was what? I'm continuing with this article because it's becoming more and more fascinating. It was supposed to be 41 people, right? Contained. Now, five other countries, including the U.S., have reported cases of the coronavirus, which is said to cause fever, cough, and shortness of breath in patients. On Wednesday, the National Institutes of Health confirmed that it was in the very early stages of developing a vaccine to combat the virus. And the reason they cannot develop a vaccine to combat the virus is because it is, word of the day, mutating. I think this story is just starting to be on the radar. I think it's going to blossom in a way that will surprise many of us. The alarm bell that goes off for me is that they're taking some real aggressive measures for something that's just supposed to cause a cough and a fever. So either the details of how bad this is are getting buried, or they haven't released the numbers as far as mortality is concerned. I'm just thinking this through in my head. This is a breaking story, as it were, while I'm recording this program. And I found it interesting because of just the spike in the cases that are being reported, going from what, 41 to 4,000, and the Chinese quarantining an entire city. I'm going to repeat myself because I often do. You don't quarantine a city over the flu. So we shall wait and we shall see. And while we are waiting and seeing, I hope that we're also praying. Because if all we're doing is waiting, holding our breath, going from one thing to another, expecting some calamitous thing, expecting the end of the world, expecting World War III, then we're missing out on time we could have spent in the presence of God. We're missing out on time we could have spent in intimacy with Him. We're missing out on time we could have spent in the Word of God. What I'm trying to get across, and I hope that you understand it, is that much of what you're seeing being passed along as prophetic is intended to be nothing less than a distraction. That's it. It only serves to distract. It only serves to make you fearful. It only serves to keep you from drawing closer to God. Now, I'm not saying be ignorant, because I've had people tell me to my face, why do you want Christians to be ignorant of what's happening? No, don't be ignorant of what's happening. Be knowledgeable. But be wise enough to understand that many of the things that are happening in this world are beyond your ability to change in any form or fashion. So you take the things that you know you can change, and you work on those. But when you become fearful of things that you have no way of changing, sitting in the dark in a room, chewing on your fingernails, wondering what next, it's counterproductive. It's not something a child of God ought to be doing. I'm sorry, I stand by my statement. Because what was it? A few months ago, the whole hubbub was 5G. That was it. Between brainwashing you and making you crazy, 5G was supposed to be the killer of many a thing. And my question is this. What exactly can you do to affect the implementation of 5G in any way? Answer, nothing. There is nothing you can do. Governments will do what they do. They will implement what they want to implement, and that will be that. For you to be fearful of it is a fool's quest at best. Now, do I believe it can do everything that people are saying it'll do? Like make you go against your will? There has been no evidence to prove it thus far. So allow me to be skeptical. But man, every few days, every few months, there's something. There's always something to keep us on edge. There's always something to keep us afraid. And at some point, we're going to have to start asking why. What is the intent behind what they're doing? What is the intent of keeping us on edge? What is the intent of keeping us fearful? Because from where I'm sitting, it sure isn't to get us closer to God. It sure isn't to get us to trust God. And it isn't to get us to grow in God. So that was what I had for you today. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening to this program. I know sometimes I come on here and I'm not the most chipper individual. I know sometimes I come on here and the circumstances of life make me less than jovial. But I'm a human being like you. And I've never tried to put on airs for anybody. I've never tried to pretend to be something other than I am. So if I'm sad, then I'm sad and I'll let you know it. And if I'm happy, then I'm happy, and I'll let you know that too. Again, thank you for joining us. May God bless you. May God keep you. And Gino, if you've got anything to say, it's all yours.
Well, we would definitely pray for that friend of yours, Mike, that lost their son in an accident. What a terrible tragedy. And as you said, to have empathy for that situation, it's a very critical time for their family that we pray for them. And then in regards to the three pastors, you just literally have to be demonized, I think, to do what they did. Number one, to be have no conscience. Your conscience is so seared that you're not convicted by even the thought of something that reprobate. And then assaulting a kid and passing them off like they're a piece of fodder. And just sick. No wonder that what came to my mind is what Dimitri told us. God's going to judge America because of sin in the church. This Jesus said, if you cause a little one to stumble, it's better that you tie a millstone around your neck, throw yourself in the river, the sea. That's like such a horrendous work of the devil. And furthermore, where are the people in the church with discernment to discern the spirit of pride and arrogance, reprobation of doing what they did? It's I'm glad you brought it up, Mike. I think I definitely agree that sexual sin in the church, these stories that you hear, not stories, but real stories, are very sad. And his sentence was not only the right sentence, but that poor gal's life is probably ruined for the most part, or having trust for spiritual leaders would be tough for her. And then his five kids having to visit their dad in prison for such a wicked thing. And it's just tragic. And it's why Jesus said, you know, the road's narrow and few find it. And it's important that we walk down the narrow road and hate and abhor fleshly lusts that war against the soul. And it is sad, you know, as Mike said, you can't, not only the tragedy of this 16-year-old family member killed in a car wreck, but just what Mike mentioned with this whole pastoral thing, it saddens you, and it makes you realize that the church needs discernment. And what a sad thing to traffic a young girl. But either way, we want to thank you for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast. Keep tuning in on Thursday nights, 6 o'clock Central Time. Let your friends know, and have a great rest of your day in the Lord's name.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.